you for downloading this message from Our Father's House.
It's good, isn't it? God's in control. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm super, super excited about the word that I want to share with you this morning. I'm going to bring to you fresh bread. And I think the word that I'm going to share is very, very significant for where we are right now. How many knows there's things happening in the world? But how many knows the church is going to be all right? Come on now, the church is going to prevail. Our finest hour is still ahead. Amen. Don't get in an uproar and don't get all tore up. Come on now, don't get all messed up. The scripture says, we talked about Wednesday night, the scripture says, when you see these things coming to pass, lift up your head, for your redemption is drawing nigh. Amen. And I'm going to get ahead of myself if I'm not careful here, but I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is getting ready to reveal himself and his power. We've preached love, 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 and we've preached to a certain extent. I think we've almost preached some people into hell, but guess what? Jesus is getting ready to show up. When he shows up, he's going to show people who he is. Amen? Is there anybody with me in here? I said, is there anybody with me? Hallelujah. But God is good, and great things are happening, and great things are in store. Amen. How many knows it's war? I'll tell you what, why don't we right now, let's intercede and let's pray for Kim Davis. How about that? As a church. Listen to me now. This isn't the first time that the Church of the Living God, or the Church of Jesus Christ, has been through a test and been persecuted. Hey, God destroyed the world with a flood. Amen. And we could talk about so many people that's been through things in the scriptures. And Bob and I were talking about this yesterday. But listen, Israel didn't become a nation again until 1948. They were scattered all over the world. Amen. And persecuted. And God's people, His chosen people, the Jews, the children of Israel, and they came back home in 1948. They were persecuted by the Germans and by Hitler in the Holocaust. But the thing is, the church is going to prevail. In the end, the church always prevails. Blessed are you when men shall persecute you and revile you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Jesus said, in the world you're going to have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God shall deliver us out of them all. So I got a news flash for you this morning. If you're listening to somebody that's telling you when you come to Jesus that everything's going to be perfect and everything's going to be, no. Listen, the devil knows he has but a short time, and he's on a rampage, and hell's unleashed its fury, but the church of the living God is going to prevail. Be encouraged this morning, because you're on the winning side. I said you're on the winning side. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory. Somebody say amen. Can you stand up with me? And let's pray and let's intercede for this, our sister Kim Davis. And if you don't recognize the name, it's the lady, the clerk in Round County, Kentucky, that was jailed this past week for standing on what she believes in. And I'll tell you what, this is how I feel. The laws of God trump the laws of man. Come on now, there may be a point that when we're tested. We had a great meeting this morning. We talked about those things in our staff meeting, and we're standing together, amen, and we're going to stand on the word of the Lord. If we can't stand on the word of the Lord when persecution comes, just forget it in the good times. Let's just go home and say, that's not us. Amen. Father, we come to you right now. Come on, let's agree in prayer. Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. And as a church and as a body of believers, we lift up this great saint and sister, Kim Davis, that is standing on your word and what she believes to be the right thing, Lord. Father, we just pray for strength for her and her safety. Father, we pray that your vengeance, your vindication would be for her. And in the end, that the world would see that you are with her and that you are on her side. We lift her up and we pray for her safety this morning. God, we bless her in Jesus' name. As a church and as a body of believers, we come against every demon from the pits of hell. We cast them down in Jesus' name and we speak blessings over her right now. We speak that she would be released. Come on, church, somebody come into agreement. We speak this morning that she would be released. We lift her up in Jesus' name. Come on, we lift her up in Jesus' name. Give her strength. Be her strength right now. Be her comfort right now. And let the world see. Let a testimony. Let a testimony come. And let the world see that you are the true God. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone in the building says amen. You can be seated. Give God praise one more time, would you please? Come on, somebody give him a shout of praise. Oh, yeah, come on, one more time. Give him a shout of praise. Well, glory. Hallelujah. It's so good to see our ramp kids. Wesley and Sarah and Amanda. Where's Amanda? There she is. We love you guys. Good to see you. Good to see David and Terry. Yeah. I mean, I shouldn't have started this. I'll miss somebody. Hey, Nate. Love you, pal. Amen. God is good. Listen, I wish I could tell you how I feel in my spirit. But, you know, what I see is the earth is groaning. And it's crying out for the return of Jesus. The trees and the rocks. Things are twisting and turning. And things are coming into alignment. Are you hearing me? And Jesus is going to split the eastern sky. I see the horses being mounted and the trumpets being shined up. Amen. He's going to come and get his bride. That glorious church. And listen to me. You know, here's why I say be encouraged. Because he's not coming after a beat down church. No. He's not coming for a wimpy, weak-kneed, limping church. That's right. He's come for a church that's overcomers and made themselves ready. And their robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And there's no spot. And there's no blemish. And they're ready. You know what? He's coming for those who love his appearing. If you're not looking for him, you might want to come to the altar in a few minutes. He's coming for those that love his appearing. And you know what I say? I echo the words of John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos. Come quickly, Lord. Come quickly, Lord. Come quickly, Lord. Woo. Get us out of this place. This is not our home. We're just foreigners. Here, we're citizens of another country. We're just passing through here. Our citizenship is in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. All right, let me try to preach this word. I have a long time, don't I? 2 Kings. Judy said yes. Thank you, Judy. Second Kings, chapter 24. Verse 8. Jesus. How many is going to receive the word today? 2 Kings 24, verse 8. The scripture says, Jehoiakim was 18 years old. By the way, Jehoiakim is whom God has raised up. Everybody say raised up. He was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. His mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against Jerusalem, and the city was besieged. Everybody say besieged. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants, did besiege it. And Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers. And the king of Babylon took him in the eighth year of his reign. Notice what we're getting ready to read now. And he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord. Everybody say treasures. And the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon the king of Israel had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said. Can I tell you right here, and I'll mention this again, the devil don't care if you have church, he just don't want certain things in the church. The enemy wants you to shut up. Verse 14, and he carried away all Jerusalem and all the princes and all the mighty men of valor, even 10,000 captives. Everybody say captives. Come on, say it again, say captives. And all the craftsmen and smiths, none remained save the poorest sort of the people of the land. Everything else was took into captivity. And he carried away Jehoiakim to Babylon and the king's mother and the king's wives and his officers. And the mighty of the land, those carried he into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. And all the men of might, even 7,000, and craftsmen and smiths, 1,000, all that were strong, able men, able for war, even them the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah, a new king. He made a new king, which meant a new order. Are you hearing me? Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your word. We pray for a supernatural anointing on your word this morning. Let your word speak to your people. Let it change us. Somebody pray that prayer. Say, Lord, let it change me. Come on, say it again. Say, let it change me. Father, we pray this morning for every individual that's sitting here. We pray for their minds, the soulless realm. Jesus, the mind, will, and emotions. We pray for freedom in this house. And in this land, I speak right now that this word would go forth in mighty power and anointing, and fruit would come from it in Jesus' name. And everyone in the room says, amen. Now, I want to lay a little foundation here, and I want to talk to you about some things. And I feel, again, I want you to pray during this word because I feel like this word is so significant. It's just really wrecked me the last few days. God had spoke to me on these scriptures weeks ago. Oftentimes when God does that, I know that soon I'm going to be ministering. But, you know, just waiting for the green light from God as to what he would, what and when he would have me to say it. Amen. Now, it's important that you know there's a difference between bondage and captivity. The children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt for 400 years. The pharaohs, they told them when to get up. They told them when to lie down. Oh, Jesus. Taskmasters told them what they could have, what they could not have. Bondage. Here's the deal. When they were in bondage, they were not their own. Now, we have things in this world that keep people in bondage. Drug addiction. Alcoholism. Come on now. People are in bondage to a lifestyle. Pornography. Yes, witchcraft. Things that keep people, they control people to the point that their life is not their own. They are in bondage. That's what the situation was in Egypt under the Pharaohs, the children of Israel. Folks, listen. When you think you're having trouble, think about being in bondage for 400 years. Come on now. God sent Moses. Moses was a type of Christ, the deliverer. And God sent Moses, and he brought the people out of Egyptian bondage. He took them out of that land. Y'all know the story. Took them through the Red Sea, and they were free. Everybody say free. Free. Come on, say it again. Say free. Free. And you know, there's a lot of things that transpired, ups and downs, after that event took place as to where we read this morning. But here, King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians took the people captive. Bondage controls who you are and what you can and cannot do. Captivity is in the mind. I'm going to take my time. It's a mind thing. What are you saying, Pastor? If you'll notice here, did you see what we read? All the treasures of the house of God. And do you understand that if the enemy can control your mind, if he can keep you in captivity in your mind, you're never going to get to where God wants you to be. You can be set free from drug addiction and alcoholism. You can be set free, but you got to get past that thing in your mind. And the problem is, the enemy is lying to people and saying you can never be free. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. I curse that lie and I bind that lie. I don't teach that and I don't preach that in the name of Jesus. We can be Jesus. You know what? Jesus came to set the captives free. He came to set those that were in captivity in their minds. And God, I want you to get this. We're going to go on here in just a second. Some things I want to share with you. But I want you to get this. So many people are in captivity in their minds. They're in captivity to fear, anxiety, and depression. When Jesus came to set us free, amen. And we don't have to be captive in our minds. I said, we're free. Here's the thing. How many remembers when I taught for weeks on soul, body, soul, and spirit? Spirit should be king, soul is servant, and body is slave. The soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And what happens in the mind, what happens to the soul, is that determines whether or not you're gonna flow in the spirit, or you're gonna be controlled by the flesh. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable of God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing, come on, of your mind. And see, they took all these things away from the children of Israel, and they had them in captivity in Babylon. Just sit over there and be quiet. Just sit over there and be quiet. They adapted to that captivity. This is what the enemy wants with the church today. Can you not see that? You can have church, just don't bring in the anointing. Don't talk about Jesus and don't talk about the Holy Spirit. We don't care how many times a week you meet, as long as it's a dead, dry service, because we know it's not going to really change people's lives anyway. Captivity. Don't say nothing. Don't speak nothing. Keep you bound up in your mind. Is anybody with me in this room? Take out the treasures. Take out the gifts. Do you understand? This was the last time the Ark of the Covenant was ever seen. Oh. That was their symbolism of the glory and the power and the presence of God. At this point, it was hidden and nobody's never found it since. The enemy wants to keep God's people in captivity. And like I said, take out. Of course, today we don't need the Ark of the Covenant because Jesus came. Oh, come on. The Ark is within us. But you see, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants us to hide Jesus. Don't talk about Jesus. Hide Jesus out. Just have your social gatherings and keep everybody bound up in captivity in their minds. You are free. I said, you are free. You need to understand that we don't have to adapt to a humanistic system and a humanistic way of belief that puts the laws of this land above God's laws and above the laws of nature. I'm just going to go ahead and preach it. Amen. We're already in there now. We know what this world is coming to, and we're in a war here, but I want some people that's going to stand up for what thus says the word of the Lord and say, we will not bow. Oh, glory. Come on. Let me go. Babylon took the Jews captive. They burned the temple. No more sign of the ark. Are you with me? If you're with me, say amen. You know, there's no threat on Christianity as long as you're quiet. There's no threat. You can confess to be a Christian all day. All kind of people are doing it. As long as you're quiet. Amen. Now, here's what happened to those folks when they got in Babylon. Hear me. Their mindset was changed. They adapted. You got to get this. Don't miss this. They adapted. They worked there. They done their jobs there. They just adapted to their surroundings. The church is adapting to its surroundings. Maybe it's not so bad if we agree with some of these things. You know, God is love anyway. I'll go on record as saying God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. He hates greed. He hates lust. He hates adultery, and he hates fornication, and he hates homosexuality. In fact, the Bible says it's an abomination. Is anybody with me? We cannot adapt. And I feel a responsibility, folks. I feel a responsibility as a pastor of this church, as a shepherd of this flock. Amen. I feel a responsibility to preach the truth and say, this is the route we're going to take. This is where we're going to stand. Amen. This is where we're going to go. We're going to stand up on the word of God. And if you don't want that, then I'm not your preacher. Amen. I'll just go home and do something else. Amen. Because we're going to stand on God's word. I'm not going to adapt, and I'm not going to change the way I preach. I'm not going to do it. Things are shaking, and, you know, we may be tested. I told our leaders this morning, we may be tested. So leaders, I need leaders that's going to come into alignment with the word of God and an alignment with your pastor and say, we've got your back and we're going to stand with you. We're not going to adapt and allow these things to creep in. You know what? The little foxes spoil the vine. We can't adapt. We can't coexist. We can't coexist with sin. Study it. They adapted to their surroundings. They lived in it. They lost their power. Give me two full of the anointing of God rather than 30,000 that are dead. Folks, I'm wanting to jump ahead here, but let me take my time. People are coming. I said, people are coming. You better get ready. I said, you better get ready. Are you with me? Their mindset was changed. They adapted. You know what they did? They adapted to the culture. Bob and I were talking about it yesterday. You know, the culture has changed because of who we've put in office.
Yes, sir. Yes. Amen. Yes, sir.
This thing started back in the 60s. Come on now. If we can get the right people in there, we'll change this nation. Boy, this ain't popular preaching. It's not popular preaching. If we can get the right people in there, we'll change the culture. And it'll change America. And judgment's coming on America, but the church of God's going to prevail. Now, here's my thing, and I'm way ahead of myself. Come here, boys. Come here, you three right here. Come up here. We need, again, you and I were talking about it yesterday. We need these guys right here. We need these guys. We need these guys to be in office. And I challenge you, young people. And like Bob mentioned it yesterday. He and I had a great conversation yesterday. And he said that I don't care if they run for dog catcher. They need to start somewhere. Start somewhere. You may start out being the dog catcher. You may end up being the magistrate of the county. You may end up being whatever. But guess what? When you're in that position, we have people that's going to change the culture. We have people that's going to say, this is what the book says. You know what? That's what our nation was built upon. People that stood on the word of the living God. Not freedom of religion. And certainly not freedom from religion. As that garbage that's coming against this county now. It's not free. It never was freedom from religion. It's freedom of religion. And it's not necessarily what it really was built the truth upon the word of the living God. That's what the foundation was built upon. You know, our forefathers left England in tyranny to come here and worship in freedom a true living God. Come on, church. It's time for the church to come alive. It's time for you to wake up. Quit playing church. Be the church. You're going to be tested. I'm just going to tell you the truth. You're going to be tested. You better be ready to stand up. You may have to give up everything you have. Are we willing? Is it this important? Or when this, you know what? This is when the rubber meets the road. I'm preaching you the truth. I'd like to preach you something, make you feel all good and gooey inside like a chocolate chip cookie. Too many chocolate chips make you fat and make your sugar too high. Come on, the church has been on the wrong diet for a long time. Is anybody with me? Don't nobody get mad at me now. I love chocolate chip cookies and I'll eat one if you bring it. I'm just saying, I told them on Wednesday night, if you have a school, if you go door to door and say, what kind of school do you want? Well, we want one that says we have no algebra, we have no calculus, we have no science, we have no English. We go to school 2 days a week. We have 2-hour recesses. It's my school. Guess what? 10 years, you got a bunch of dummies. You got a bunch of dropouts. If you make it easy on everybody, they're not going to grow. But you know what? Listen, folks, this thing's winding up. We better be ready. It's not about your job. It's not about who you are in this county. It's about Jesus. It's about the kingdom. This thing, I'm telling you, it's unfolding right before our very eyes. If you can't see it, wake up. Wake up. Jesus is coming. Okay, I gotta go. The enemy wants to change. You know, you jump over to Daniel chapter 1. We're good, right? I'm about to blow up. Daniel 1. Jesus, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Things are happening. I'm telling you, things are happening in the spirit realm, and the church is getting ready. Daniel 1, remember what happened? Verse 1 talks about Babylon besieging Jerusalem. But then in Daniel 1, it goes to talk about a man named Daniel and three boys. Three boys. Y'all know their names. But here's the deal. Do you understand? Listen to me. Can I slow down here just a second? Do you understand that the king changed their names? These guys, you know, they noticed that they were doing well. Smart boys, right? Now I'm going to preach this to you a way you've never heard it before. He changed their names. You know what? In the scripture, your name is your identity. It's who you are. God changed Abram from Abram to Abraham. He changed Saul. He changed Saul from Saul to Paul. Changed their identity and who they were. Saul went from a persecutor of the Christians. He went from ISIS to the greatest apostle to ever live. Is anybody with me? He changed these boys' names. You know, I like you boys. You're good boys. You're good looking boys. And you're doing well. You're smart. We're going to change your name. We're going to change your identity. We want you to adapt to what we do here in Babylon. We want you to look, be like us. We want you to be like our culture. So he looks at Daniel also, and he looks at Daniel. You got to hear me now. And he looks at Daniel, and y'all know the story. The eunuch comes to Daniel and says, "We're going to feed you the king's meat, and you're going to drink the king's wine." Now, understand that that was literal. That was literal. I'm not trying to change the word. But you have to understand also that meat in the scripture is in reference to doctrine. Man, I'm about to... Wine is in reference to the spirit. You know, what are you saying, Pastor? Remember in the New Testament, Paul said, I couldn't feed you meat, I had to give you milk. Because meat was too strong for you. So it's a picture of doctrine. So the king is saying, Daniel, I like you, and I like you boys too, but listen, you're going to have to get lined up with our doctrine. Oh, y'all, I don't know if you're hearing this or not. You're going to have to get with our spirit. This is where we're going, and you're going to have to line up with us. Daniel says, let me tell you something. I'm not going to eat the king's meat, and I'm not going to drink the king's wine. He says, you watch me for 10 days. And for 10 days, they gave him, he didn't eat the king's wine, or eat the king's meat and drink the king. You know what? At the end of 10 days, they said, you look better than those that are eating the meat. Y'all missed it right there. They said after 10 days, they looked at Daniel and said, you look better than those that are eating the king's meat. It's time for the church to say, we're not going to eat the doctrine of this world and its junk and the garbage it's going into. We're going to stay in our steadfast, solid doctrine. You know what? Jesus Christ is the foundation. It's time for the church to say, upon this rock, we are the church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against us. It's the pillar of the truth. Is anybody with me? All right, here we go. Are you with me? If you're with me, say amen. Go to Psalm 137. We still got some more time, right? We're not having prayer tonight. Guess what? You can grill your hamburgers a little bit later. They'll be all right. Is anybody with me in this room? Can you tell I'm excited? Look out. Get ready, Jill. Psalm 137. Psalm 137. Do we have that? Hey, hey, hey. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. That's the problem. Oh, glory. There we sat down and we wept. We got discouraged and said, oh, poor, pitiful me, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? There by the rivers of Babylon, we sit. You know, the church can't sit down. When you know, that's your worst thing when you sit down. You quit. When the going gets tough, that's right. It's time to lace them up, put on the helmet of salvation, put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, listen, if God was with you back when everything was going well, then God's with you now. I think my Bible said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know what I think? You know what I think God's waiting for? I think God's waiting for, you know, I really believe this. I really believe that God's saying, Now's when my true church is going to rise up. Now's what I'm going to see. Now's what I'm going to see. Oh, y'all got to hear me. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. We wept. And we remembered Zion. Thank God for what he's done in the past. Thank God for the great revivals. But I'm going to tell you something. The best is yet to come. Keep going, Jacob. We hanged our harps up. Get up here, Daniel. Come on. Don't hang your harp up, man. Where's Brandon at? Come on, you guys get up here. We hanged our harps upon the willows. Come on, Randy. Yeah, thank you, guys. We got some great harp players. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there, they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mercy. And sing us one of the songs of Zion. They got so discouraged and sat down and hung their harps on the willow that the enemy was mocking them. Sing us one of those songs. Let us hear, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, the glory and the lifter of my head. Let us hear, you're a refuge and a rock and a mighty fort. That's the songs. Verse 4. We're just adapting here. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Let me tell you something. Never, Jill, never stop singing. Hear me. The enemy wants the church to shut up. But I'm declaring that this word and these songs and the anointing from this place is going to the world. And the world, the nations are going to see. It's bigger than Newtown, Kentucky. This is not about just gathering on Sunday morning to receive your weekly fix. This is about getting your mind into alignment. Stephanie, never stop singing. They hung up their harps. Is anybody with me in this room? Because they were in captivity in Babylon. Now here's the deal. I'm way ahead of myself, but you got to catch this. Do you understand that Cyrus, king, he set them, he loosed them, he set them free. They didn't leave. Oh, y'all didn't get that. All of them didn't leave. He said, you can go. And Ezra goes back. And Ezra builds the temple back. And then later, Nehemiah, he goes back. And Nehemiah, do y'all get this? Nehemiah rebuilds the walls. I'm about to blow up around Jerusalem. But some of those folks, they got comfortable in Babylon. They laid down their harps and they lost their soul. They lost their authority. They lost their identity. They got comfortable. We like it here. We're making good money here. Oh, look out. We're comfortable here. We've got adjusted to Babylon. We don't want to go back to Jerusalem because there... Oh, are you hearing me? Can I have just a few more minutes? They gave Daniel something other than the king's meat. And he looked better. And then here comes the second test. And y'all know Daniel told the king the truth. And here comes the second. Oh, glory. The king builds an idol. That's where it all took place, folks. Solid gold. 90 feet high. Everybody say 90 feet high. 9 feet wide. It's a big gold image, wasn't it? And he says, we're going to play our music. We're in control. Are y'all hearing this? We're in control of this thing now, boys. Come here, boys. Come here. It's three fine-looking boys, isn't it? He said, when you hear the music play, everyone bows down. Right? Daniel chapter 3. Let's go there. Stay with me, boys. They dedicate this image. And he said, everyone's going to bow. Right? I want you to look at something. Verse 7. I'm going to show you some things I don't think you've ever seen in here, because God showed me some things. Look at verse 7. Therefore, at that time, when all the people hear the sound of the music, we won't read all those instruments. I'll just say this. It was a big orchestra. This was a big deal. All the people. Everybody say all the people. The nations. Everybody say the nations. The languages. Fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Right? And what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that these three boys weren't the only three Jews there at that time. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this thing's infiltrated its way into the church, and it's not just the world that claims that they're in darkness. Come on now. They were there and they all bowed. These were the only three that didn't. Right? Are you with me? And then the king sent, the word sent to the king. These boys didn't bow. I'm going to give you another chance, guys. We're going to do this again. Sing the second verse of that song. Play that music again. I'm going to give you another opportunity. Now, let's hear what they had to say. I'm trying to wind this up. You got to hear this. You got to hear this. Look what it says in verse 15. If you be ready, what time you hear the music again? I've made well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour. Come on. Come on, there's threats coming. Can I be honest with you, Pat? As your pastor, I felt threats. Can I be transparent with you? The enemy says, back off. Come on now. Let's just be real. There's threats. Don't put us on a pedestal. You're going to be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Here's the question. Here's what the world is saying. Who is that God? Who is that God? Let me tell you who he is. He's the God that spoke everything into existence. He's the one that when he gets ready to stop it, he'll stop it. He's the one that led the children of Israel through the Red Sea. He's the one that helped David kill that giant. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my... Oh, y'all ain't hearing this. That question's being wrung out today. And the music played and they wouldn't bow the second time, and the king says, heat up the furnace. Can anybody agree with your pastor this morning that it's heating up, and oh, the battle's getting hot and it's getting hotter? Amen. Is anybody with me? They took these big burly men. Come here, Calvin. James, you're a big burly man too. King said, let me pick out the best. Let me pick out the best. Come here, Greg. Come here, Greg. Took these big burly men. Y'all like that word, don't you, burly? You're going to go home and look that up. Heat the fire 7 times hotter. And they threw these boys. Oh, y'all ain't hearing this. I want you to see something real quick. You got to see this. You got to see this. You got to see this. Hold up. Stay with me just a second. Look what it said in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, they didn't have to pray about it. Guess what? We've been walking with him long enough. We know what the answer is. We should know. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able. Everybody say is able. Come on, say again, he is able. He's able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace. Come on, and he will. Come on, say, and he will. He will deliver us out of thy hand. But if not, now, here's where it gets interesting. Juan and I was talking about this weekend. Here's where kingdom-minded comes into play. We're going to stand with God. He's going to deliver us. But if there's any idea that he won't, guess what? We're still not backing down. That's where the rubber meets the road. When you say, hey, I may lose my thing that I'm so attached to, but it don't matter. I'm still going to stand for God, and he's going to deliver me. But even if he don't, let it be known that we're not going the way you go. So let's just go on record and say that's where we stand. God, listen, God's getting ready to vindicate himself, folks. They heated it 7 times hotter, and they threw these boys in. They threw them in the fiery furnace. It burnt these guys up. You guys are toast out. Turn the burly into a sack. Is that a sack, a burly sack? Y'all remember those? Used to gather corn in those. Is it burly? Burlap. Thank you, Elder. Burly went to burlap. Burned off. And then the king walks around. Is anybody with me in this room? Listen, folks, this is where we are. Babylon wants to capture our minds and cause us to believe this is how we have to go. You may be walking around free as you can be, but your mind is in captivity. These boys, they were free in their minds, and they said, it don't matter. God's going to deliver us, but even if he don't, guess what? We're not going to bow to your God. We're not going to bow to these gods that have set themselves up in Washington, D.C. Come on now. Come on now. Is the church going to be the church? They're going to show. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, the day's going to come. They're going to show up here with cameras in this area right here. These people won't bow. The king walks around. He says, wait a minute. Didn't we throw 3 men into the fire? Come here, Justin. You get the good part. Wait a minute. I see 4. I see 4. And the 4th is like to the Son. Is anybody with me in this room? You know what? I'll preach you the truth. The true church is going through the fire. But guess what? The 4th man is getting ready to show up and go through the fire with the church. When's he coming, Pastor? I don't know. But I promise you, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Be encouraged. Stand on the word of God. Don't bow. Don't let up. Pray harder. Fast more. Seek his face. Declare this book in the fields, in your workplace, in your schools. Stand on the word of God. Oh, come on, somebody, give him praise in this room. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He's coming. I said he's coming. Come on, somebody, he's coming. Come on, he's coming. You know, when the odds are stacked against you, Gideon got down to 300. And God showed up. David was by himself against that giant. And God showed up. These three Hebrew boys, listen, are you hearing me? Yes, we are becoming the minority. But you know what? Maybe God's getting his church down. He's getting the junk out. Don't be discouraged. Come here, boys. Don't be discouraged. Are you with me? Does anybody feel what I'm feeling? What are you feeling, Pastor? We're getting ready to see the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit we've ever seen. Because that's when God does his best work. The third great awakening. Listen, God's not... You know what? I'll just go ahead and say this. God's not done with America. God's not done. People are going to run to the house of God. Because God's going to show up. Listen to me. God's going to show up. And he's going to show off. And people are going to see. All right, here we go. In closing. What did the king say? The only thing it burnt. The only thing that was burnt off of them boys was the things that had them bound. What they had bound them up with. Remember, they were free in their minds. They weren't captive to that belief system, that humanistic belief system. They were free. The only thing that had them bound was they tied them up. And all that stuff, they didn't even have the... You know what? You don't even have to smell like the world. The Bible says they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. That old fire that was heated up the smoke smell didn't even get on. Oh, y'all ain't getting this. And then the king says, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many believes that the tables can turn and they can say, blessed be the God of Kim Davis in Round County, Kentucky. God's still in control. He's going to reveal himself. Is anybody with me? Can I have a church that say, we're going to stand up on the word. We're not going to bow. Come on, stand to your feet. Come on, stand to your feet. Come on, give him praise. Come on, give him praise. Oh, come on, somebody. Who is that God? Who is that God? Who is that God? He's Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. He's Jehovah Nisi. He's my banner. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's my healer. Woo! Come on, somebody give it. Oh, come on, you need to give him praise. You're not there. Come on, give him your best praise. Somebody, can we give him some praise in this house? Come on, give him praise. Who is that God? Who is that God? Come on, lift him up, church. We stand. We stand on your word, Lord.
More information about Our Father's House or upcoming events, please log on to www.ourfathershouseky.org.